listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Every player, unless they're from the same household, has to bring their own tennis balls so that you don't touch other people's tennis balls with your hands. You can kick their balls, but you can't touch them. I'm going to blush, sorry. Of course, if you're playing with someone in your household, you can touch those tennis balls. To avoid confusion between whose balls are whose, you can use a marker, like a Sharpie, to mark out, to put an X or put someone's initials on them. I would just say...
Lance, have you ever had confusion of whose balls were whose?
Oh, my God. You could hear her in the middle of that. The realization that she was going to go viral in the middle. You can hear her self-realization, like, this is it for me.
I shouldn't have done it. Well,
made a huge mistake.
I got to keep seeing in tennis balls. Because you can't kick them in the balls, but you can't kick the balls.
Oh, boy. You can kick other people in the ball in their balls. Oh,
yeah.
Oh God. And then she goes, oh, God. This is not going to go well.
That's unfortunate for her.
So I was kind of surprised. I don't know why it flew under the radar so much. Over the last couple of years, we found out that the flu game was actually a food poisoning game. But I guess it just didn't get wide circulation because a lot of people found out for the first time yesterday that Michael Jordan's flu game was actually a case of food poisoning, at least according to Michael Jordan and everyone around him. And that was something that came out on the documentary. Now, I'd already read that before, that Jordan had said that. So it wasn't new to me. I don't think it was new to you, John. But it was new to a lot of people who didn't read the article that maybe we did. And I did like the fact that they showed Hateful Jazz fan in all their glory. Although I have to say, Indiana Pacer fan took it to another level.
What about that woman in the front row?
Yes.
She was awesome.
Yes.
Screaming.
Hey,
I was like,
you, buddy.
Yeah. No, I don't know who it was, Will Perdue or Bushler or somebody just turned around and then just shook his head, just like, wow. No, Indiana fan is a lot like Utah Jazz fan.
Yeah. They're Heartland basketball now. They are angry, and they take their home court advantage extraordinarily seriously.
White and angry.
Utah Jazz fan, though, you know, according to the story that was told yesterday on the documentary, there was like five guys from the pizza place that all came to, you know, basically Jordan made it sound like, and his buddy George, whoever his best friend, they made it sound like it was a conspiracy where they put poison basically on the pizza, and they literally poisoned Jordan.
Yeah, five guys came to the door and they were giddy, and apparently Mike was the only one that ate it and got sick.
I worked at a pizza place. It's very hard. Well, I don't know what type of standards they had, but we couldn't keep bad product around.
So I was like, do you have something you hold off on? Like, hey, keep that.
Maybe they, I guess, just in case Michael Jordan or any Bulls player orders food from us, we're just going to have bad meat lying around. So what could they have possibly have put on that pizza?
You could have had, it could have been food poisoning, but without, you know, something was, but not probably not intentional.
Oh, maybe they got their meat from the Walmart and, you know.
That Walmart's in Oklahoma.
Yeah, well, you don't know. There's Walmarts in Utah,
are
too.
We sure that Joe Exotic was a thing in 1998?
We're not.
No.
Well, he was a thing somewhere.
He was a thing.
Well, he was a thing somewhere.
Was he grabbing bad meat or expired meat in 1998?
My guess is it was probably. Yeah, actually.
I don't think that pizza place made a living out of taking expired meat from Walmart and putting it on their food.
No, I don't doubt that he got food poisoning.
I'm just trying to figure out how does a pizza place maneuver that?
Yeah.
Just because. You don't just keep bad product
now
around.
Here's what we'll do. We'll make sure and clog up all the lines. You guys will call all the other pizza places to make sure they can't get through to any other pizza places, which will funnel Jordan directly to us. He will have to make an order from us. When he does this, we've got some meat that has been out for the last 7 days rotting, and we are going to put it back in the refrigerators so as though he won't be able to tell. And then when we cook it, we're going to use a certain amount of meat and make sure that we put it all around the pizza. It's a little far-fetched to think that you could poison Jordan intentionally. However, it's always seemed to make sense to me. I will tell you that it seems very plausible. I understand it, Del, what you're saying. Logically, it doesn't seem possible.
Outside of legit using a substance that, you know, would make him sick, like actually poisoning him with something, how do you use just pizza ingredients laying around to make him sick?
But I feel like it could happen in Utah. I just feel like it's something they can do.
I don't doubt that they would hold, just in case, because they are the pizza place that's nearest the hotel that maybe the hotel promotes to you know, if you need a pizza, here's the number to call, because that happens too, and the pizza place pays the hotel or whatever, and they know that's the visiting team is there, that they would keep, for the NBA finals, I'm sure that they would keep bad meat laying around just in case.
Why would they
case.
Not think that Jordan was just going to go to one of their outstanding steakhouses in Salt Lake City? One of those world-famous steakhouses.
Yeah, because it was whatever. Tim Grover tells a story. It was like 10:30. Who was his trainer? 10:30 or so at night, and they're calling around. It wasn't like they just went, hey, hotel, concierge, what's the best pizza place? No, apparently they were looking all around.
Mr. Jordan wants to know where to get a pizza.
Yeah, and they came, well, at least the story he tells, they were looking around. Everyone was closed, and this one was the one they fell upon because it was open. So I can't, as a person who worked at a pizza place, I don't know how they did it.
Why was Jordan ordering from a place called Fester's Pizza?
Oh,
Fester's. That's their name, Fester's. No, it's not.
That's a bad name.
I was trying to think of what's the worst, most disgusting pizza place
Pus
and
meat.
I could come up with.
Pus Meat Pizza. What? No. I'm not getting Pus Meat Pizza.
Fester's Pizza. Well, of our pizza's pretty good.
Did they stop? They stop off someplace?
Just
like maybe at home or something and grab some bad meat?
Possible. You know, as a bad a person as you are, Del, you don't have ill intentions. A Utah Jazz fan? Every pizza.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Did you just say Del doesn't have bad intentions?
I don't want to hurt people. I don't care enough about you to try to hurt
you. Mentally want to hurt them.
He doesn't care enough.
You try to Scott Burrell us all the time.
That's not true. I don't care enough about anyone to do that. It would have to be something where, in the extreme example, they held bad meat around waiting for this opportunity, or they had bad meat at home. Because the likelihood of all of these things coming together to get Michael Jordan sick, astronomical.
Somebody who lived in Salt Lake City just texted me and said, I believe they were in Park City, actually.
That's a fancy place.
The Bulls stayed in Park City.
Well, that's probably where all the opposing teams stayed. Or the Bulls stayed every time
they came. Or maybe the playoffs, yeah.
Yeah, or every time the Bulls went there, they stayed there.
John's not going to let this conspiracy theory go. They poisoned him.
Let's see. He's the only one that ate the pizza, and he's the only one that got sick. And actually, when you do eat something bad, it's a couple hours afterwards, which is a perfect
timeline.
Oh,
it was food. I think it's 100% food poisoning. Yeah. I have no doubt about that. You don't get the flu for one day.
And to think that Utah Jazz can't connive enough.
It seems plausible when you just think of Jazz.
How do you know they didn't pull it out of the garbage, Del, that they'd already
pulled what out of the garbage?
Now look,
a whole pizza?
Pull the meat.
Do I think one of them might have put
the meat out of the garbage that they'd been thrown away? Hey, wait a minute. We got some bad meat in the garbage already.
Would you like some extra cheese on that, sir?
So did Tim Grover or whoever ordered the pizza, hey, this pizza's for Michael Jordan, so could you make sure
How does all this come about? It's a pizza for Tim. It's a pizza for George, his boy George. He used the fake
name. I don't
know,
but five guys showed up. Do five guys usually show up to deliver a pizza? They must have known.
Do we believe that five guys actually showed up?
Maybe they just hit 777s. They had no idea, but they knew it was a bull. They just didn't know.
Yeah,
it
that might have been true.
I'm going to question whether even five guys actually showed up to this thing. Well, I think Grover's exaggerating.
Okay, do you think there's a chance?
No, that's kind of surprised him. He was like, why would five guys show up
Do you think there's a chance that somebody would have put Famunda cheese on it? Do you know what Fomunda is?
I know what it is.
I think there's a 100% chance they
That's possible. I mean, I don't
just
think
dragged it across.
Or multiple, maybe all five guys.
Oh. Is that how that name got started?
I don't know. I don't think five guys would appreciate you associating them with that. But but maybe all five guys are there because they all contributed with the Fomunda.
Three Guys Pizza. All of us are going to drag our Fomunda cheese onto your pizza.
Well, I don't even know if it's dragged.
If you're a road team.
They just scooped it.
Gross. Oh, gross, Del.
Oh, I'm gross. You bring it to the show and I'm the gross
Del one. Likes when we open the door so he can just barrel through.
I feel like now to your point, John, I feel like Utah Jazz people are dirty and not very cleanly. So maybe
I feel like they're very cleanly though.
And not these guys. Not
everything
the
I saw on Big Love, they seem like cleaner.
That's a TV show.
Salt Lake City seemed clean.
That's a TV show. And this is Park City. So maybe those guys saved their Fomunda. And what?
In a jar.
Could a bull be? Oh, let's add.
Wait a minute. Was he self-poisoned? Was it a false flag?
I don't know.
Did Scott Burrell poison Michael Jordan?
I don't. To get in the game?
Hey,
no.
Mike, I got your pizza here. Thanks, Scott. Sorry ass, punk ass trick.
I don't think Scott Burrell had anything to do with it.
Hey, Mike, congrats. Hey, it's me, Scott Burrell. I just want to wish you happy birthday.
It's not
go
my
suck
birthday,
your
Scott.
Own mother's face, you stupid whore.
What?
Whoa.
Okay,
whoa,
Mr. Jordan. I'm sorry, is Mr. That, Jordan. I was just saying happy birthday.
Is that worse than what that French player said to the Dortmund player when he told him to go F his own grandmother?
Yeah, John, can you believe this is being said in this day and age?
Yes.
In German soccer?
Yes, in German. How would you say it in German, Lance?
No.
Well, it wasn't German, guys. It was French.
A French guy.
Oh, how would you say it in French?
Oui, les enfants, j'en fais des gueules. C'est vrai, fuck, on
voit. C'est maman.
C'est maman qui est la mouille.
Tony Parker actually would go do that to your grandma.
Tony Parker,
and he's
would.
French, and he would do that to your grandma.
It's
as long as she's married to a teammate.
Just for fun.
As long as his grandma's married to one of his teammates, he would do something like that.
In that case, it would probably have to be someone in the front office. Grandma, a little older.
Yeah.
Your grandma's married to someone in the front office. Tony Parker would do stuff with her.
Yep.
Tony Parker does stuff.
Tony Parker does do stuff. You know who else does stuff, Lance?
Who?
Blackland Distillery.
They do a lot of great stuff. As a matter of fact, just the other day, Grandfish sent me a picture of the bourbon from Blackland Distillery. And he's like, thank you for sharing this with us, Lance. This is the finest sipping bourbon that I have had in years and years, and it got a ton of play. Matt Miller from NFL Draft Scout on Twitter, he does Stick to Football podcast with Bleacher Report. He's like, I've got to have some because there's a big spike in interest in Blackland Distillery. A lot of people are now talking about it because it's gotten so big in Texas. It's making its way to South Texas, and I'm just telling you this now. When you taste it for yourself, yes, the vodka has already won a distillery award in just the first year in business. Their gin has great floral notes to it. It's a creamy vanilla finish with it's got a tobacco smokiness to the bourbon and the rye. Go check it out for yourself. And more liquor stores are adding Blackland Distillery every day. If yours doesn't have it, I know there was one Specs where somebody said, hey, I went into that Specs on Smith. They didn't. Hey, demand it. Just say, hey, I really want you to carry this. And you're going to find that they're going to make their way into more and more of the liquor stores that you go into. But you can always demand it if you like, or call ahead and find out, do you have Blackland Distillery? Vodka, gin, rye, bourbon, distilled right here in the state of Texas. They don't farm the distillery. They do it right here. They make the entire process happens here. Make sure that you try it for yourself. Blackland Distillery, distinctively original, and they're waiting for you.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Welcome back. 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. Before we got to get a call in here. Lamont is on hold. Before we get there, Cody Latimer. Wait, you had Ed Oliver, arrested, DUI, gun charges, weapons charge as well. Cody Latimer, an argument in his apartment, and then started firing bullets. Then fired his gun, and there was a minor injury, not gun-related, but Cody Latimer taken into
custody. What
complex
does he live in where he's discharging weapons?
Discharging a weapon in his apartment.
What?
Or yeah. A couple of people heard arguing and then a couple of gunshots in the apartment. Not that. So, Cody. And then Dunbar and Baker turned themselves in. And they said that they thought that they were being ripped off. But the question is, then why'd you take those Rolexes and Peugeots?
Cell phones.
And
to make sure. Just to make sure. Some collateral to get our stuff back.
Why did you say to shoot someone in the face?
And that's not even the most embarrassing thing your league did over the weekend.
What? What did they do?
The whole, if you guys please hire some minorities, we'll give you draft picks.
We'll give you draft picks, third rounders. Yeah. So hiring a minority is worth 16 slots in the third round. Congratulations. That's what it's worth. Hmm. Lance, congratulations.
Got a great league.
Sorry, we're moving forward, taking steps to move forward. Hmm. Sorry.
By bribery.
Our apologies. Yeah. Our apologies.
Feels like if you took the NFL model, you'd hire minorities. What's basketball doing?
What do you mean? Nothing. Basketball doesn't have that problem.
They don't have the problem.
Yeah, they do.
No, they don't.
There are still some white coaches.
There's not the suggestion to get rid of every white coach.
It's not that there are white coaches in the league.
Oh, I thought. Okay. What are we doing about Hispanic coaches in basketball?
James Borrego?
No one talks about that.
You mean James Borrego? And Charlotte, isn't that his name? And then you have
Gerson Rosas. Eric Spoelstra.
No, he's Filipino. How about stop being racist? And also Gerson Rosas, who's an executive in Minnesota.
Yeah, they kicked him out after a couple days.
Isn't he still in Minnesota?
Yeah, but listen, what do you think about this now? We hire a minority coach. We move up 16 slots in the third round. Then we fire him. Then we hire another one, move up next year.
They're going to have to. You know who's going to do that? The Patriots. Bill Belichick's going to have a brand new GM every year.
Yep.
Just to try to game the system.
Right. To move up 16 spots.
If there's one guy who could game it like that, like.
Will they let you trade executives to move back in the draft? Like if you trade an executive.
And you pick up additional slots?
If you trade your newly hired minority general manager to another team to move back, you get that pick and then you get a pick next year. Can you trade that as draft capital too?
Trade him for next year's 16 slots up?
Yeah.
I didn't think about that.
Are you allowed to do that? Since we're just using it as draft capital. What else?
I didn't think about that.
That's so funny. Let's get Lamont in here on ESPN. What do you say, Lamont?
Hey, man, I was wondering about something. It's not really big, about the whole coronavirus and, you know, everybody trying to protect their images right now. Could you guys foresee the major sports teams, football, basketball, baseball, go away from this whole flu-like symptoms now? They know everybody's going to be panicking and stuff, and every time we hear about somebody being sick, they got the flu-like symptoms. Well, now I don't mean – you just can't say stuff like that.
You can't say flu-like symptoms anymore.
Yeah, it was just something I was just thinking about. I was like, how they going to handle that? And that's all I have, fellas. Huh.
Flu-like symptoms used to just be casually tossed out there. And I've been told that the flu is – the coronavirus is exactly like the flu. And I never heard anyone say, she's got some coronavirus-like symptoms. It's no big deal.
Well – I bet if you get caught up in it, you're going to be isolated and you're going to have DNP, COVID-19. That'll be on the box score.
Until a couple of months ago, there was no such thing as coronavirus-like symptoms. Now there is.
We know what they are.
Yeah, fever. Well, as soon as you get a fever and a cough, you've got coronavirus-like symptoms.
Well, they say what you need to look for is loss of smell is the first thing when you're asymptomatic and you're most contagious and you're just starting to head into that. If you lose sense of smell, that's when you need to self-isolate. Because it's happening at over 80% of the people.
Right.
So it's one of the first things that you can do before you, if you start saying, man, I can't smell anything, shut it down.
Yeah. Let me smell. Oh, yeah, I smell terrible. I'm good. All right, I'm good.
So Freaky Deaky says this. He says, I just can't, I have a hard time with this one, with Jordan. He said Jordan wasn't, he said MJ had a severe hangover. And I said, dude, in Utah, like I could 100% buy that with Jordan having a severe hangover, even I guess in the finals, because we knew Jordan would go out gambling and Jordan would do this and that. Maybe you could convince me Jordan had hangovers in another city, but in Utah,
no,
even Park City, I just
I don't doubt that Jordan can get his drink on anywhere, Lance. Jordan was a pro. Dude, Jordan would drink. I know somebody that sat and drank with him, and he said, crap, I got to go. I got to go play. And he was sitting drinking with him all afternoon. Jordan was a pro. Hangover ain't going to put him like that against the Jazz, especially the next night. Come on.
Said MJ had a bag, man. Liquor and cigars were always in reach. That's true.
That's true.
Jordan was really into cigars.
Yeah, and oh, by the way, and he had his drink on. He got his drink on. So, but Jordan ain't. Jordan was a pro. If he got an IV the next day, he would have been just fine. Come on. That wasn't no hangover, dude. Jordan played plenty of times hungover. He didn't. That was extreme. That was flu-like symptoms, only it was food poisoning because of a horrible Jazz fan. Chase asked a pretty good question. He says, who took the biggest L last night? The Utah fans? Pizza places in Utah or Pacer Karen?
I think Pacer Karen, because you know what? Outside of I guess people who love MJ, if you are a Utah Jazz fan, wouldn't you love that pizza place for what they tried to do?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
That's about MJ has the will to win. That's all he wants to do is win. Well, now he met his almost his equal,
almost.
Somebody who's willing to do anything to win. And they were willing to take out the best player in the game to win. I don't have any problem with pizza place.
I would have been putting it out there if I were the pizza place that actually tried to poison me. Like, we tried. No, that was the flu. We tried to kill Michael Jordan.
Yeah.
Can you guys come order some pizza from us?
If Carmelo could make a couple more jumpers.
That place would have been packed with business.
It would still be today. If the guys come forward and admit it and go, listen, that was us. I just want everybody to know, yeah, that was us.
That would be the new Tillman. They'd have 400 restaurants.
Yes. Yes, they would.
They'd all be in Utah, but still.
It would be packed tonight in Utah if those guys would admit, yep, that was
they'd
us.
They'd have their own milk companies and their own cereal companies and their own pizza companies and their own near beer companies.
You know how many wives they would have?
I'm going to caffeine, and you always go to the wives.
Yeah, that's his go-to with Utah. Look, I think Utah pizza place, Utah fans win. I think Karen loses. Pacer Karen's a big loser.
Oh, I loved Pacer Karen.
The lady mullet?
Yes. She was awesome. That's the kind of fan I want behind the bench.
She was MF in the referees or the players.
Wait a minute. Why is that a bad thing?
I thought
she was awesome.
Are you into blondes?
Of course he is. We already know
that. Yes, my wife.
Well, there you go.
Well, no, I mean, I just thought that she was.
Salty blonde.
I mean, that's a fan right there. She's going to MF the other team right there behind the bench.
That's someone you want to sit next to and take home.
Yes.
I don't want to
sit.
Yes,
I want to meet mom.
I don't want
her. I
want
to meet mom.
I don't want to sit next to that.
Look, let's remove a dirty little secret. I mean, there's some guys who are like, oh, I love when my wife likes sports. It wouldn't be better if she likes sports a little less.
Yeah. Pacer Karen, yeah.
Shh.
Pacer Karen was a little
the curtain
over the
back
top.
Wouldn't it be better if she was like, I don't really care. I'm going to watch Very Cavallari. I don't care about this. Wouldn't that be better for you?
You know, the good thing for me is my wife will sit and watch the Jordan doc, although she hasn't watched the last four. She's going to watch it at her own pace. But my wife is Pacer Karen, but with the Longhorns.
Yeah.
But nothing else. Like, nothing else does she get like
that.
Well,
that was Pacer Karen had that same thing for the Pacers.
Yeah, that's true. So I do live with a Pacer Karen for only one sport, and really only like
a couple times a year.
Four, like maybe three times a year.
Even with that, she's not a fan of your favorite. That's not what she is
with
your favorite
team. No, she stays out of my business.
Yeah.
Although she did get really into the Rockets playoffs run, the World Series. She didn't care about the Texans as much, but the Astros and Astros and Rockets, she really got into those playoffs.
If you could self-isolate your significant other where she was that type of passionate about her team and that team didn't involve you, you'd be fine. But I don't want to – if we're watching a Canes game, I don't need you being that excited. I don't need that from you. I need you to relax.
She loves him.
No, I don't need. That's why I wouldn't. I wouldn't be with a Canes fan. I wouldn't. I don't. I don't need that misery for both of us.
Okay, well, she was Jen Sturger, and she was Florida State girl.
Then
okay.
she's made a bad
kind of
choice.
She's annoying, too, honestly.
She's annoying, too, honestly. Let's be fair.
Yeah, you'd both be really annoyed with Jen Sturger. Okay.
Yeah.
929.
Wait a minute.
Whatever.
This is so ridiculous. You can't be annoyed with someone and still be attracted to them. Why is that not a thing?
Yeah, because first,
yeah,
because
you know John's saying this
because
he and Wendy have both yelled at
You know what? Because guys get married and never get annoyed with that woman. That never happens.
Have you and Wendy ever both yelled at Les Miles in a stands?
Have we? Yes, all the time.
There it is.
Right.
That's such a ridiculous. Oh, you would never get annoyed with it. Men marry women they love and get ignored with them. Why wouldn't I get annoyed with the Florida State fan? Of course I would. It would be annoying.
That's a no-brainer.
Yeah, okay, whatever. Yeah, well, Jen Sturger, you know what? You better get over it, pal.
Why? Why do I have to get over it?
Because you ain't getting no Jen Sturger.
Okay, that's fine. Oh, no, no Jen Sturger for me.
That's
okay,
why.
I'll be really broken up about it. I'm dead.
You're working off like a 12 or 15-year-old meme now.
Who's even looking at Jen Sturger anymore? What is she doing now?
Because everybody's looking at – because Jen Sturger can't stop looking at you.
Yeah, that's not the point, John. The point is I would get over it.
Point.
No, it isn't.
Yeah, it is the point.
That's the pretty simplistic thing that everyone goes to. Well, of course you would do it. No, maybe I wouldn't. I don't care about Jen Sturger. Who does anymore?
Here's an article called Where's the Famous Brett Favre Girl Now?
Yeah, because no one cares about her anymore.
Well, I'll tell you what she's doing, John. She's a comedian, actress, and writer.
Is she really?
That's what her Twitter bio
comedian?
Says.
I want to see her stand up about Miami. That'd be fun.
Not the last 3 years. She ain't nothing to say.
931.
Her team
ESPN.
Is trash, too.
931 ESPN 96. Who's got the last national championship? Florida State. Thank you. Good night.
Who's won the last three games? Who cares?
It's over. Time to talk HRP. All right. Listen, this is the hardest time your business has ever faced, and you need help with this. I was talking, as a matter of fact, it was so funny. We were over at Nick's place and they're doing all their own stuff, and that's fine. They don't, you know what? You got to have a certain amount of employees. You got to have 15, 20 employees for it to make you work. If you've got 20,000 employees, that's great for HR&P as well. Nick's place, not so much. But Cindy was talking about it's been so much with the unemployment that she's had to do and the SBA loans and all the applications and all of the stuff that she's had to do. And well, we're going, HR&P is taking care of that. HR&P does that. All of the unemployment claims, all of the Affordable Care Act, all of the SBA loans, the PPP, the Coronavirus First Act. Well, I mean, all of these things. And we've got a company that's just taking care of it. It's knowledgeable, it answers our calls, works with the bank to get the loans. And if your company, if your payroll company isn't doing that, well, guess what? Or if you're a company and you're just overwhelmed, you need HR&P. So if you're not completely satisfied right now with your payroll company and your HR company, then call ours. Because you're going to get back into business here and make sure that you get everything and make sure that you're doing everything right. Make sure that it's just perfect. And that's what HR&P is doing every day. HRP.net, 281-880-6525. In these uncertain times, HRP.net.
ESPN. 97.5. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. Yeah, it was amazing. At the end, when the Bulls, after the last one, went back to the hotel, and that was in Utah, Mark says, the sheer pandemonium of the fans at every stop. I mean, talk about, that is superstardom, what Mike had. And Will Perdue was on this morning. Well, Perdue wasn't even a part of it, but he was asked about, what he thought of him. He just loved him. He said it was unbelievable how he made you better and all this stuff. He said, but you didn't want to live Mike's life. I mean, that scene where he's laying on the couch and talking about, in episode 7 or whatever it was, about how this is my life. You know, he's basically a prisoner of his own fame. But in Utah, they go back to the hotel. It was like, holy crap, look at all these people that just wanted a glimpse. And it wasn't today, so I was looking to see if anybody had a cell – nobody had a cell phone out because there were no pictures and cell phones. And, you know, today it would have just been all
– My kids asked me about that. My daughter asked, when were phones invented back then? I said, what? Were phones invented? We were watching the 98 championship parade. She goes, were phones invented? I said, do you mean cell phones? She said, yeah. I said, yeah, they were around. I said, you know, honestly,
yeah,
I said, most people, there were still a lot of people who didn't have cell phones around 98. I said, I got my first cell phone probably around 96, and it was only because I had a setup where a guy gave me a cell phone in exchange for my picks for Pigskin Sports, because you used to have to pay by the minute. Like, you weren't.
I thought you got your laptop that way.
I did. I got both.
Oh.
I wasn't stupid. If a guy wanted to give me a cell phone, so I had a prepaid card that I could use for any long distance calls on the cell phone, and you got charged minutes. You only had a certain amount of minutes for a cell phone back in the day, and that was it. And then you had to pay for anything over that. Frankie Wong, I got my computer. That Brandon got me the cell phone. Frankie Wong got me the laptop. I mean, I was willing to barter now. They could pay me cash money, but if they wanted to give me technology, I would take technology. But I told my daughter, I said, by 98, I said, a lot of people still didn't have cell phones. And even if they did, you didn't use them all the time. They didn't have cameras on them. There were no camera phones back then at all. So people had to actually pay attention and remember what they saw and use it as what's called a memory. You didn't just have to put all your memories in a phone. No, you could have a human memory. It's called a human memory.
Where you used your brain for memory.
Yeah, and we used to memorize phone numbers. It's crazy.
Yeah.
And so, but I thought it was interesting that she asked about that specifically, as she noticed that there were not people with phones anywhere,
right?
Which is true. Okay. Here's a question I want to ask you guys, because this is actually one that I think can last a little while. Would you rather see Michael Jordan in 2020? And I'm talking about prime Jordan, whatever you consider to be prime Jordan. Let's call it 1995-96 Jordan. Would you rather see him play in 2020, or would you rather see LeBron James play in, let's just say, 1992? Prime LeBron in 1992.
I would rather see prime LeBron than to see if he holds up against the – well – I mean, he's a physical dude, and listen, if he grew up then, he would be as physical, and he would be a brute, and he would be great, he would be unbelievable. But would he be the best player in the game in the same era as Mike? I don't know.
That's the question. My answer is the same, John. I'd rather see LeBron play in the early 90s. And I don't want to get too far, like, I don't want to get 95, 96 era, because that's when Olajuwon started to fall off a little bit. That's when Barkley started to fall off. Like, if we're still in the earlier 90s, you're in the heart of a bunch of badasses. So I would rather see Jordan there. What would you rather go to? Which direction would you rather see, Dell?
I'd rather see Jordan go – I mean, not Jordan, but LeBron go back. Okay. Only because the discussion – honestly, the worst part about the Last Dance documentary – is, well, let's have a poll. Who's the better player of all time, Jordan or LeBron? I can't stand it. I feel it's exhausting, honestly, to have that conversation. But I would rather push LeBron back in, just because at 6'8", 260, handling like a guard, I think it would freak people the F out. Because how many guys are his size?
It was Magic.
He was probably the only – and Magic was not even in the league. I think he was – out of the league by 93, right?
Yeah.
He made a short comeback later, but 6'8", 6'9", 260, handling the ball as a point forward, it would revolutionize. Pippen's the only
one. No one's 260. No. The body type.
But no one's as big as LeBron.
No, the body type is Karl Malone. You know, the body type's like Karl Malone body type. When LeBron was thicker, LeBron did lean down a little bit in Miami, but I'd like to see. I think LeBron would. I would like to see that too, because if you take a player like Jordan and now he has to shoot a crap ton of threes, one of the things for me, it's really reminded me how much more enjoyable basketball truly was when you had motion. And John, I know you mention this a lot, but it just really is true. The signature moves that we have with Jordan, what would they be? A bunch of pull up threes on the break? Yeah. Would they be corner threes? Would they, the mid range? And I'm not talking about just dunks and into the paint. I'm talking about the mid range fallaways and things like that. And I understand. I'm not crapping on what's happened. Is people like Daryl Morey have figured out three is greater than two. It's really that simple. And if we take a certain amount of shots and we get proficient at that shot, and then we get we eliminate shots that are lower efficiency shots, he's just using math to make, you know, to create an advantage. No different than card counting. I respect that. However, I don't think that means that the game has gotten better. They found a loophole in the game, and everybody now has to exploit that. And basketball, as a thing of beauty, it's not really a thing of beauty anymore. You don't have as much. It's spacing, drive, dish, kick out. You don't have the ball movement. You don't have the beautiful game. I know soccer's considered a beautiful game, but at one point you could have said the same thing about basketball. And I don't know if you guys picked up on this. There was one play in particular where the Bulls are moving it around, and they're talking about how dominant the Bulls were and as a team when they really got on a roll. And they're showing these cross-court passes, things that you would never see today. Skip passes over the top as defenses rotate. It's just, you'd see some skip passes, but it's really more drive and dish, drive and finish, or, you know, the drive and dish, kick out for the three. Basketball is just not as, if you've watched both, it's hard to say that you like the three-point shot era of basketball better.
Well,
it really is.
Well, yeah, but now let's not forget the grind, the hand check.
That's true.
Era, the 87, 82.
You know what? That's games. A really good point. Let me not romanticize that.
Yeah.
There was a real problem.
It was the Knicks and Rockets were hard to watch.
There was a real problem once you hit 90, it was about 92, 93, where it got to be where teams were put together. And it wasn't just that, John. There was also a belief that you just slowed it down. Like, there was more walking up the court. There wasn't rushing it up the court. You walked it up the court, and you had less time to get into your offensive sets. And because a lot of offenses revolved around kicking it down to the post, you know, would roll through the post, then you had, and I mean a lot of them, including Indiana, you know, the Indiana Pacers. A lot of stuff sometimes would go through Rick Smits or Dale Davis or Antonio Davis. Well, when you do that, the back to the basket, that's not an immediate catch and shoot. There's a process to beat your guy off the dribble, where you got to dribble down, dribble down, dribble down. And then if the double comes, then you got rotations. So the shot clock came into being. The shot clock was a major factor in damn near every possession back then.
Yeah.
Because the defense was hardcore, and the way that the offense flowed, you didn't get offensive looks. Like, it was considered a bad shot. If you were shooting with 10 seconds to 12 seconds ago on the shot clock, dude, what are you rushing your shot for? It was considered rushing your shot, not early offense. And then it became known as early offense, and it had a better, you know, it was looked upon more favorably when it was considered early offense.
Well, I will say this about that as we hit a break here. Is that I really believe LeBron would have translated to that time.
I do too.
I think he would have been a great, great player. One like Barkley, like Malone, like Michael, that you built a team around.
Could Kevin Durant have translated to that era with more physical? Look, I don't. Kevin Durant could not have played with Michael Jordan. There's no question. It's just psychologically, the whole thing would have been really tough on him, bro. On that Kevin Durant. But how would Kevin Durant handled playing in that era when it was so physical?
The Pistons and the Knicks and the Pacers, they would have beat him so badly. I mean, they would have shoved him around.
But he can play, though, John. Like, he can shoot over people. That doesn't change.
No, that doesn't change, but it's what kind of beating that body would have taken with those toothpick arms?
He would have had adapt or die. That's what he would. He has all the skills. He has all the skills in the world to dominate, because there aren't seven. He's another guy who's just a freak, a 7-foot guy dribbling like he does and pulling up. He would just have to be a guy who decided, I don't care. You can beat me up. I'm going to play, or he would suffer.
Well, if his body would have been able to hold. Now, does he bulk up because he's in that era? Because Mike did. Mike hit the weights, and would he have had to do that? And he probably would have, because he would have had to adapt. But I think Kevin Durant would have been a Robin, not a Batman.
But I don't know if that's his personality. But you got to remember now, there are just some guys who have come up. Like Kevin Durant now came up a certain way. And it's interesting. I was watching some of their documentary on about D.C. basketball. But you came up a certain way where you were kind of coddled. Or, you know, it just depends on your upbringing, too, about whether or not you can handle that. It's not right. It's not for everyone. It wasn't for everyone with Michael Jordan. I don't think that was something that's – I don't think you have to be a total a-hole like Michael Jordan was to be great and to win championships. It's something that I think it perfectly defines who Michael Jordan was in terms of his singular philosophy on winning and how hardcore he was. And it's something that I appreciate watching. But I don't think that is something to be celebrated. I think you know, I think Mike could have treated people a little better and still demanded excellence and practice hard. And some of the psychological stuff was just, like the Burrell stuff was clearly over the top. I mean, yeah, there's just no way around it.
All right, taking a break. 713-780-3776 if you want to get in here.
Well, hello!
To call into the HR&P listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net. Listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. So there's a Texans Wire did a piece on Texans inside linebackers. Best, highest run stop percentage, Zach Cunningham in the league. 14.2%, highest run stop percentage. 15th in the league was Bernardrick McKinney at 9.5. Highest passer rating allowed, third worst in the league, Bernardrick McKinney, 140.1. Zach Cunningham, 12th in the league, 12th worst, 124.5. I think we knew this. I think Zach Cunningham did some nice things, especially against the Bills. I saw him in coverage. He had a few nice. He was actually in the slot. I'm hoping that the addition of Eric Murray. I'm hoping that we're gonna have and listen, you're gonna have to pay Zach Cunningham money now. You're already paying Bernardrick McKinney money. Is if they can't be on the field on third down, and Bernardrick McKinney can't. We've seen. It just sticks out in my mind that game that Oakland that they were in Oakland at the time when they played him in Mexico, and Bernardrick McKinney in coverage on the tight end.
Tight end factory.
Look, it was just an ass whooping.
Just get it over with. Just give him his $13 million a year, and let's move on. 4 years, $13 million, 65% of it guaranteed. Next, who else? Who's up next?
No, we're not just going to do that. Listen, if you give me a choice between Cunningham and McKinney, I'm taking Cunningham all day.
See, I think that, Cunningham is more. See, McKinney to me is more of a tough guy in the middle. But Zach Cunningham, while he's less tough in terms of the physicality of an interior guy, Zach Cunningham can do more. In today's NFL, the value is guys who are more versatile. That's the way it is. He's got some sideline to sideline chase down stuff, and he can cover. And you got to be able to have some cover nowadays.
Yeah, and Cunningham is far better, I think, than McKinney is. I think McKinney is if I see McKinney on the field, I'm going to try to isolate him on my back or my tight end. That's just smart. I think just smart football because give me that matchup any day. It's a game of matchups, and the Texans lose that matchup. They just do. If McKinney's got to cover. Now, I like McKinney if you're not getting any pass rush. And, you know, a lot of times the Texans will put one or two linemen on the field. Then rush McKinney. Then rush McKinney. Because I'd much rather have him, McKinney, going after the quarterback. And we've seen him be able to get to the quarterback some or put some pressure up the middle on the quarterback than have him out in coverage. I'd much rather do that.
Yeah, and that's the thing is at least McKinney can't rush a quarterback. He's got some rush to him, so that helps somewhat. But at some point when you – this is the reality for Texans fans that they're going to have to get ready for, is that when you pay out these exorbitant contracts, it means you're going to lose some good players or some solid players somewhere along the lines. One of them, you lost DeAndre Hopkins, we know, but there's going to be more that you have to lose. DJ Reader. DJ Reader was DJ Reader's an example. A guy overplays his draft slotting, becomes one of the better players at his position, and he's got to go. There's just not money for him. The Texans can act like they tried to keep him, but they weren't going to be able to keep him. It was impossible.
When you're paying your kicker $4.5 million a year, how are you going to keep your defensive lineman?
Yeah, well, if DJ Reader could kick field goals, then maybe he'd still be here.
Well, you know what? Maybe did anybody ask if DJ Reader can kick field goals?
What else did he do?
Oh, I don't know.
Besides play defensive line, what else?
Oh, really? Okay, so let's put Kaiemy Fairbairn on the defensive tackle. See how that works.
No, he also kicks off. That's two different things he does.
Oh, well, Reader rushes the quarterback and stops the run.
He doesn't rush the quarterback great, does he?
He did. And guess what? Kaiemy Fairbairn didn't kick extra points great either.
Yeah, but that's overrated. Who needs points?
My point is, giving $4.5 million to a flipping kicker is not good business.
Dude, what? I can't believe you're talking about the Bill O'Brien good business model. You're going to drive yourself to literal death if you keep waiting for all these good business sense.
But Eric, wait a minute. What is DJ Reader? What did he get? What did DJ get?
$53 million.
Over how many years?
DJ Reader got $53 million deal. Well, let me see what the total is on it and the guaranteed. Let me see. 4-year, $53 million deal.
4-year, $53 million.
They couldn't have afforded a $13 million a year defensive tackle.
No.
He has 6.5 career sacks in 4 years.
$13 million a year. I know you can get that. Oh, that's right. David Johnson. Bing, bing, bing.
Yeah, that's true. But you have – DJ Reader has 6.5 sacks in his career in 4 years. That's not great.
Who's better at their job, DJ Reader or David Johnson?
Oh, no, DJ Reader,
that's
100%.
The wrong question. You should be asking who was better in their job in 2016.
Yeah.
Now you have your answer, and now you know why David Johnson's on the roster.
Well,
and
DJ Reader in 2016 was a sophomore in college.
And who was better at the job? David Johnson as a pro running back or DJ Reader still finding his way at Clemson? Thank you.
No. DJ Reader was, like, in the league. And
not in 2016, was he?
Yeah, I think so. He's been with the Texans for, 4 years.
Oh, see, John, even better. Thank you. Who was the better player? Yeah, he joined the Texans in 2016.
The rookie?
Yeah. Yeah. Who was the better player?
Actually, 1 year, DJ Reader, it doesn't feel like it, but DJ Reader is only one. He's only been in the league 1 year less than David Johnson.
David
Johnson feels like his career is now crashing to a halt, and Reader's is just getting, like, the wheels are coming up, and Reader's just taking off.
Yeah, and DJ Reader was probably on his way to maybe 25 to 30 tackles and a sack in 2016, and David Johnson was a Pro Bowler. So you have your answer. Stop asking questions.
Who was better the last 3 years?
That's not what we judge players on. We judge them on that magical 2016 year. And look at DJ Reader's stats. One sack, 22 combined tackles, a couple tackle for losses and in 2016. And you know what David Johnson was doing? Setting the fantasy world on fire. Now you know why. Stop asking silly questions.
Yep, he became the number one fantasy pick in 2017, and he played half a quarter of the season.
You would know, didn't you pick him?
Not half a quarter of the season, half a quarter of a game.
And didn't you draft him or something?
Yes, and he broke his hand in the first game and never saw him again.
Well, now you're going to see him 16 games a season.
See, I can't. That's why. I got to recuse myself from David Johnson talk.
Yep.
Because I have a special place in my heart. Like, Lance, don't you have a guy who screwed you on a bet? I mean, immediately you're like, oh, screw that guy.
Well, that's Lukaku.
Romelu Lukaku. I thought you hate him because he left Everton.
That's why I hate him.
Man, your bias has just leaked through.
Yeah,
John.
But I still hate him. He's a screw that guy.
Daryl Morey's right. It was right with about you, John. You allow your bias to have you making judgmental and irrational.
I mean,
you're players.
Talking about the Texans not doing this and that. I mean, golly, let the pizza guy get warmed up before he can get you your cookies and pizza.
Yeah,
where you can get back on board.
I know you don't get pizzas on Sunday nights. You get them on Monday nights.
Yeah,
we'll hear. I won't hear it, but you'll hear a different John on Tuesday tomorrow.
Yeah, be
a
different totally John. Different. I was thinking about some of the moves they've made. I actually think offensively, this has a chance to be a really good offense. And top 10 offense is going to pop up tomorrow.
Yeah, because that pizza connect came through.
Well, we'll see.
Ooh, I hope it's not from Festers.
It's not hey, I haven't gotten any pizza yet, so hold off. When the pizza comes through, then I'll let you know, okay, what I think of the Texans. Honestly. Oh, well, we got cookies. I haven't gotten a cake.
Did you guys see the Antonio Morrison stuff? Former NFL linebacker Antonio Morrison was arrested this week and charged with intimidation, a felony, according to Indianapolis Star. A series of erratic behavior by Morrison led neighbors to call Carmel, Indiana police on multiple occasions. Morrison initially allegedly accused a neighbor of stepping into his space on April 22nd and made lewd comments to the man, according to court documents obtained by the newspaper. A day later, the same neighbor called police, accusing Morrison of threatening to kill him. This is a former Florida linebacker who has been with the Colts and some other teams. But he's out of football now. The man told police he feared for his life, according to the affidavit. Police issued a warrant for Morrison's arrest Monday, and a second affidavit was filed Wednesday seeking to seize a firearm. Morrison threatened a different neighbor May 1st, according to the affidavit. Then last Sunday, the Carmel Fire Department responded to a fire call at a condo. Morrison told firefighters through a window that he had burned food and everything was fine, but refused to come outside. Firefighters spotted a shotgun at the entry door. Police arrested Morrison on Thursday on preliminary charges of battery and battery against a public safety official. The Colts made Morrison a fourth-round pick despite the fact that he ran a 5.0 40 and had really bad knees. Back
in
2016.
Or is that something you added? Did you add that?
It's subtext.
I feel like that's from your scouting profile.
It's subtext. He did run a 5.0 40 and he did have really terrible knees. So even if he was threatening somebody, he couldn't have caught them in a foot race. That's the good thing. But the shotgun is the equalizer.
Do you think
that, you know what? That really sounds like CTE stuff.
I know.
You can't make that assumption from afar, but man, oh, man, oh, man, that just sounds like he's got some problems and he needs some help.
Did you also know that this story dealt? Thomas Middleditch?
The dude from the television actor?
Yeah. Did you know he's a swinger?
I heard that story.
Oh, yeah. He and his wife? Yeah.
Yeah, mostly him. I was reading this. It sounds just like Shiv Roy. Yeah. Where he got married and said, hey, this just isn't going to work for me. We got to figure this out. And she's like, excuse me?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, excuse me? And then she went
to
full-time
mode. I don't know.
Mode.
It sounded like she was willing. I mean, it sounds like they're both. And it's their, the fans of the show. What is it? What's it called?
Silicon Valley.
Silicon Valley. And, yeah, they do it with they find, you know, huge fans of the show, and they swing.
Well, it's a little different. He said, I'm gas and she's the brakes. This is actually the premise for a comedy series. It's a perpetual state of management and communication to the point where it's like, all right, we've got to stop. I love my wife like I've never loved anyone before. With two people who feel that way about each other, how do you go down that road? It's tough. Bring a therapist along for the ride. But you can already tell reading this article. It's 8 months old. It's the first time I'm seeing it. But he's all like, so yeah. So my first concern is Molly, and anything that happens has to be run by the queen. He's basically saying, hey, Molly, we're going to need to make this happen. And she's like, I don't know.
He's telling that story now for the media, but I feel like Thomas, Middleditch, is that his name?
Yeah.
I feel like, you telling me I can have sex with all these fans and it's good? oh yeah, my wife's, yeah, she said it's okay, and or sometimes she says it's not okay. Nah, I feel like that dude is running that.
I feel like more he's setting the stage for a new comedy series.
I'm reading Brobi. We got to take a break, but this Brobible article, whoever wrote it, at the end says, "Real talk, I'm no sex god by any means, but if this couple approached me and my girlfriend looking for a good time, it'd be a no-brainer. Unless Middle Ditch is packing a hammer, there's no way I don't end up on the cushy part of that deal. DM me, Molly."
Yeah, his wife's a smoke show. Yeah. All right, 10:03, Lance, beat it.
I'm beating it.
All right, well, you're on the
You're end. Leaving.
You're yeah, leaving. I'm leaving, I mean.
Beat it.
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 98.7.
Wait, what?
I said 98.7, that's my show.
Let's try this one more time, okay?
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 97.5 FM.